they are. What do they talk like they do? What do they act like they do? Who is this Jesus that they always talk about? And so what Brett did, he digged a little deeper. He asked questions. He wanted to learn more about who this Jesus was and why these people, these kids, acted the way they did. And growing up for Brett, he thought Christianity, he thought being a Christian meant you just go to church. That's what he thought Christianity was all about. You're a Christian because you go to the church. But as he listened, as he talked, as he understood, he realized that actually it's much more than that. It's about having a relationship with God. And it was in that moment that Brett knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted a relationship with God. And so this little boy who grew to a 15, 16-year-old, who was bullied, who was bashed, he probably thought of himself as worthless and insignificant. He made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and accept Jesus into his life. And what took place in Brett's life next was a dramatic transformation. A passage that Vicky read out to us, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Who wants to read it out for us again? You do, Aiden. Go for it. Loud and clear. What's it say? You want to read it? Anyone? Can you read it? Who wants to help him? Olivia, go for it. Okay, good. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. What Brett experienced was a new form of identity, new meaning, new purpose within his life. No longer did he see himself as worthless or insignificant, but someone of worth and purpose once again. He knew there was a God in heaven who loved him, who cared for him. And that's why he made that decision to follow Jesus and accept Jesus into his life. And as a result, he was able to leave his old self behind, his old sinful life that he repented of, and his feelings of worthlessness, and made instead a decision to follow Jesus. And as a result, God transformed him and grew him immensely. Fast forward a few years, Brett would start up a new ministry against bullying called Making Bullying History. His full name is Brett Murray. There's a video clip for us, Greg, if you want to click on the next slide. Here's what he does now.
Well, with the Make Bullying History campaign, it's pretty much what the name suggests. So I want to make bullying something that's a part of history that no longer exists anymore. So that's the goal, is to put an end to bullying, both in a corporate sector, but also in schools as well. The way I go about reducing bullying in schools is by delivering anti-bullying seminars, empowering kids to disarm bullying. I've been speaking at high schools now for 10 years. I've been working with youth for 24 years. It really is my heart and passion. And then we also deliver seminars to staff and also seminars for parents as well. So the entire school community is on the same page.
I've been bullied quite a lot throughout my years.
If you're going to bully people, it's just wrong.
What you say can make or break someone.
The response I've been getting over the last decade of delivering these seminars from the students, teachers and parents has been overwhelmingly positive. We've had schools come in and say that they've had massive reduction in the amount of bullying incidences.
Well, it's good to hear the kids' responses, how best to help out instead of being a spectator, actually tell the person to stop.
Because every time I saw someone that was bullied, like, I never did nothing about it.
Getting other kids to put a stop to it, not just the teachers.
Schools are finding that their students are more happy at school, they feel more safe because now they know what bullying is, what bullying is not, and how to stop it. It really is a privilege to be able to go into schools and to be able to speak into the lives of students, whether they be, you know, right down to kindergarten, sort of junior school age, or right through to senior high. I think I differ from most other youth speakers simply because it's not just research from someone else, it's my life story, my journey. I understand what it's like to be a victim of bullying. I've been able to turn my life around. I've been able to achieve great things by, you know, representing my state in 5 different sports, being swimming, surfing, surf lifesaving, rugby league and boxing. I'm now an advocate for bullying. I'm the only triathlete in the world that's actually doing the big triathlons like the Ironman and Challenge events, purely to represent and bring awareness to bullying. So I'm actually the guy who's out there putting my body on the line to make sure that this conversation about bullying isn't just a nice, you know, sizzly newsflash, but it's actually an ongoing conversation because bullying is an ongoing problem. With Make Bullying History, the ultimate goal is to not just stop bullying, but to replace the negative with the positive, and that is that dreams can become reality. And that's the challenge to people. If we stop bullying, people can start dreaming.
An amazing man. Not only has he done this, Brett has spoken on national, international conferences on this topic. He's an author. He's birthed a new youth ministry called Bacon Eggs in the Bible. And he's been nominated 5 times for Australian of the Year. Again, our youth has been in a series, Epic Story, Living a Story Worth Telling. For me, this is an epic story. Again, a story worth telling. Would you agree, guys?
Yeah.
Okay. A man who was once small, or a boy who was once small, seemingly insignificant, out of sight, out of mind, bullied, he transforms and he grows into become a source of life to this world, literally to the rest of the world. And what I want to encourage you guys, every single one of us, including our kids and youth with this morning, is that the same is true for you. You may feel out of sight, out of mind. You may feel as insignificant, like nobody cares. But God has a plan and purpose for you, and he desires to do the same in your life as he's done with mine, I believe, so that you have a story worth telling also. Today's not about bullying as such. Today is about giving a real tangible example of what Jesus says in the parable of the mustard seed in Matthew 13, 31 to 32. I needed someone else to help me by reading this out. Who wants to read this out? Aiden again. See how you go this time, mate. Can you read that? Another parable. Story. Yep.
The kingdom of his
heaven.
Heaven. Is like a mustard seed.
Good man. Daniel, finish it off for him. Which a man?
Which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest. Of garden plants, and has become and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch on its branches.
All right, thank you guys. Who knows what a parable is? Anyone know what a parable is? Okay. Yeah, it's a story. A story that Jesus told. So it was unlike any other story. Okay. A weirder story? A real story. Sometimes. But parables that Jesus told, he told them to teach us things, teach his disciples about the kingdom of God. And so who knows what a gobstopper lolly is? Anyone? Okay. So what happens when you put that gobstopper lolly in your mouth? What happens? Okay, it changes color, changes flavor, yeah? What's that? Yeah, it goes into your body. That's right, it does. But when you suck on that gobstopper lolly, and our parents would have grown up doing it as well, and our adults, it changes colour, doesn't it? It changes flavour. And so the parables function in the same way. When Jesus told these parables, they had hidden meanings in them. They're nice stories. That's a nice story, isn't it? It's a nice story on surface, but as you dive deeper, you discover the hidden meaning, the real meaning that Jesus was trying to communicate about the kingdom of God. Okay, so with that in mind, what is this story all about? What is this parable all about? I'm going to show you. And I need your help. I need you to come up on stage, guys. And as you come up on stage, I have here for you, each of you, a pot plant. So come on up. Choose, stand behind your pot plant. I really knocked one over, so hopefully it's all good. All right. So we should have enough. Dan and Anthony, you want to get a pot plant? No? Okay. I'll take yours then. All right. So you got your pot plant. Here's a seed. It looks like a mustard seed. It's not a mustard seed. It's the same size as a mustard seed. It's a sunflower seed. I want you to take it. Have a feel. Have a look how big it is. Pass it on. So as you do that, as you look at this seed, what Jesus is saying in this parable is that the moment that... What are you guys doing over there? The moment you and I accept Jesus into our lives, we become like a seed. So we have our physical bodies, yes? What Jesus also says is we have a spiritual component to us. We have a soul, we have a spiritual side within our lives. And this is what he's focusing on, okay? We have a physical body, but he's talking about our spiritual soul. So the moment that you accept Jesus into your life, you become like a seed, a vessel of life. Before that, we were dead in our sin, but we are born again and made into like a little seed. What does a seed do, guys? Aiden, it what? It grows. What does it grow into? A flower, yep. Plants, yes. All right, so it grows into something, doesn't it? Is a flower, is a plant a living thing? It is, isn't it? So within each of these seeds, each of these tiny little seeds lies the potential for growth. Yes? They are a source of life. And so what Jesus is likening us, that's the reason he likens us to a seed, because when we accept Christ into our life, we become like a seed with the potential, the room for to grow and to flourish into a source of life to this world. Have a think about our spiritual life, our physical lives. When you're in your mummy's tummies, when you're first in there, how big do you think you are? Do you come out that size or are you a lot smaller? Fat. You're fat. Oh, geez. Is that right, Eva? Tiny. On the screen, there's a little model. It's a little model. It's not a real baby. But that's how big you are, probably even smaller than that, when you're a baby, first in your mummy's tummy. So when you see a baby come out, it doesn't start like that. It's tiny like that, even smaller, like a little seed. So physically, we also grow too, don't we? Okay? Look at all the adults and your parents. They were babies once. I know it's hard to believe. I was a baby once, but we all grow and we flourish, hopefully. And so Jesus is likening the kingdom of God to a little seed, and it's the same for ministries and our church parents and adults. For a ministry, for example, starts off small, but God's desire, if it is his will, is for it to grow and to flourish into a source of life. Well, now I want you to take that seed, guys. I want you to put it in your pot. First, before you do that, what you need to do is sprinkle it with some water. All right, so pass it on. Daniel might need to help. Wait, you've got to wait for it to sink. Hopefully it doesn't go everywhere. So let the soil absorb the water. And then what you need to do once the soil absorbs the water is get your finger, put it in the middle, but only put a little hole in it. So it covers your fingernail. And then once you do that, pop your seed in and cover it over. All right, so you've done that. Put your seed in, cover it over. Did you cover it? Push it right down, push it right down. Got to go all the way to the bottom. That's all right. We've got... All right, so cover your hole over once you've done that. All right, now I want you to imagine, guys, that you are that seed for a moment. How would you feel right now if you were that seed? You've just been put in the ground. Yes, Ali? Like cramped. Cramped? Okay. Yeah. You're definitely cramped. Yes, Aiden? Squished? Yeah. Yes. Olivia? You've got no friends. Yeah, well, that's true. Apart from the soil. What about you guys? Is it going to be dark or is it going to be light? Could be dead. It's going to be dark. It's going to be dark. Are you going to be lonely? Someone said no friends, yeah? Okay. So imagine you're the seed. Maybe you feel like that now in your life. Maybe you feel like your life is dark. Maybe you feel like you're lonely. Maybe you feel like this seed, out of sight, out of mind, like nobody cares. Maybe you feel like you have no friends. Maybe for some of our parents, maybe it's or adults, maybe marriage is tough at the moment. Maybe work is hard for us and you feel the same way. You feel out of sight, out of mind, like nobody cares. Your life, your world feels dark. If we can flick back to the parable of the mustard seed there for us. What does verse 32 say, guys? Let's go back a few. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The seed eventually grows, doesn't it? It grows and it flourishes into a source of life to the world, to the birds. Birds, they have their homes in branches, don't they? In trees. Okay, so it's a source of security. It's a source of comfort for the birds of the air. And what Jesus is saying is that you too, you and I, can become this source of life to the world. We can become a source of life in this world. Within every seed lies the potential for growth in your life and in my life. But the question for all of us is, what do seeds need to grow? Ali? They need sun and water. Anything else? Ethan? Seeds need seeds? Possibly? Olivia? Okay, so looked after. Do you just water it once and give it one lot of sunlight and that's it? No. Or repetition? Okay, so the seed needs some love and care, doesn't it? All right? If Jesus is likening you and I to a seed, where do we get our source of nourishment from? How do we grow? What is our water? What is our sunlight, do you think? What's that? Loud and clear? Oh, parents, yeah, good answer. There you go. Yes? Parents? Okay, God's word. What else? Hey? The Bible, yep, God's word. Yep, that's right. Full armor of God. All right. How do we communicate with God? Okay. So these are things that we shouldn't do to tick the box and just say, I've done it. God says, if your heart is to experience me, if your heart is to learn about me, then I'm going to reveal myself to you. So I think in life that we can tick the box, yeah, I've prayed, I've read my Bible, let's go into my week. But God says, if you are to grow and flourish, you need to come before me with a heart of desiring to know more about me, experiencing me. Within every seed that God plants lies the potential for growth. And the passage that Christine read out for us earlier, it reveals to us and shows us that it is God that does the growing, isn't it? God transforms us like he did with Brett Murray. God grows us to become a source of life to the world. Final passage for us, guys. John 7, 37 to 38. Who wants to have a go at reading that one? Liv, go for it. Slide 7. Or 8, 6. 6 or 7. No, that's not it. We're not done yet. Not there? Already out. So John 7, 37, 38 says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart. So what I want you guys to do, are you listening, Aiden and Ethan? This is critical, all right? You listening? You watching? Yeah? What I want you guys to do is take these plants home. Okay. I want you to water them. What about the hole? That's all right. Don't worry about the hole. We'll get that sorted for you. I want you to take care of them. I want you to water them. I want you to give them the right amount of sunlight. Whoever's plant or sunflower grows first wins a trip to Hawaii. No, not really. I can't afford that. I wish. Whoever grows their plant first will get a prize personally for me. So your parents or yourselves, send me a picture of it and you'll win a prize. But the catch is, every time that you spend time watering this plant, every time you put it in the sunlight, every time you care for it, I want you to do something else. What is written on those pot plants? Ali? All right. So once you feed that plant, I want you to feed your souls. And my prayer for each and every one of you is as you do that, and the parents, I encourage you to help them and come alongside them in a tangible, real way, is that as your plant grows, as your sunflower grows and flourishes, my heart and our heart is that your spiritual life, your walk with Jesus, your life would grow and flourish as well, to become a story worth telling, just like Brett Murray's, yeah? All right, would you give our guys a round of applause? Take one of these each so you don't get... Take one of those each so you don't get water everywhere. And go grab a seat for us. And as these guys take a seat, I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to conclude our service with a song of praise. Good job, guys. Make sure we take care of them. I want to see some epic sunflowers. Oof. All right. All right, good job, guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the life that you have given us in and through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the church, and we thank you that the church is your idea. Father, your heart is to see your church grow and flourish into a beacon, a source, a vessel of life in this world. And I pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us in our individual lives and collectively as a church, that we would seek to do that. That we would seek to water our souls, feed our souls, nourish our souls with you, so that we would then grow and flourish into purpose-filled disciples. Purpose-filled disciples that live out their purpose to evangelize to the world. Purpose-filled disciples who choose to worship you and only you. Purpose-filled disciples who grow in fellowship, who love one another deeply from within our hearts. And purpose-filled disciples that desire to go deeper and deeper and deeper still with you through discipleship. Father God, as we come to sing this last song, we proclaim and we praise how great you are, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.